Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. It's probably unfair to say that we live in an age that is more deceitful than any age past. What I think is true is that we have way more methods of hearing about and listening for and watching the deceit of our age than any other age has before. And as we watch and as we hear and as we listen to all of the lies and all of the manipulation and all of the stuff that we see in our world these days, it strikes me that this text from the first chapter of John is absolutely delicious. Jesus sees Nathanael, who he's never met, coming to him, and he says, "Ah, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." What a beautiful, beautiful commentary on a person. And what I think is happening here is, among other things, is that Jesus is actually looking into Nathanael's eyes and sees the reflection of himself, sees the reflection of the Spirit of God in Nathanael, and recognizes it and names it. And Nathanael is so surprised. He said, "How did you get to know me?" "I saw you." And Nathanael says, "You are the Messiah. You are the King of Israel." He gets a little enthusiastic. What I want to say about that is that I've just all week been enthralled by this idea of someone in whom there is no deceit. On Wednesday, we talked about during the evening prayer, some ideas about some times when we've heard people speaking without deceit. And even before that, I had gotten a sermon response from last week that was written, and part of the response was from this reference to this interview with Maya Angelou, the great writer and poet and actress. She just had a whole amazing career, but she was also just this amazing person of faith and dignity. So in this interview, she's talking about this story that happened years ago. She was invited to go to make a cameo appearance in a movie that was being made, and she was there, and she's in her trailer, and the stars of the movie were Tupac Shakur, who was this controversial rapper. He was in the middle of the gangster rap genre of rap music, and lots of anger, lots of frustration poured into this music, but apparently there was plenty of anger left over, because here is Maya Angelou. She's in her trailer and she hears this commotion outside, right outside of her door, and it's Tupac Shakur and some other guy, and they're fighting and yelling and screaming and cussing. She says, "You can see the blue streak come right out of his mouth." and they're at each other's throats. And she opens the door, and she's at this time, you know, she's probably 65 years old, and she walks out, and she's, and they kind of break things up, and he says, she says to him, "Oh, may I speak with you?" And he says, "I'm gonna do this and that to that guy, rah, rah, rah." And she says, "I understand. But may I have a word with you? That guy, he can't, da, 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 da." "Ah, yes, of course. I've heard that. I understand. But may I have a word with you?" And finally, he relents and he goes, and she says to him, "Do you know that our ancestors came to this country in the bottom of these horrible slave ships, and they laid spoon patterned up against the one against the other in the bottom of these boats in their own excrement, in their own urine. And then they got here and they were put on the block for sale like property. And from them, from that suffering and from that perseverance, you have come and I have come to be here." And then she looks at him and she says, all right, first he says, "Yeah, yeah, I know, I know, I know." And she says, "When was the last time someone told you how very important you are?" And he could have heard that as how important my music is, how important this movie is, how important my reputation is, my money, my standing. But we know that's not the case, because Maya Angelou is telling this story in this interview, and she says, and at that moment, his face stopped and he just started to weep. And from that response, we know that Tupac knew that Maya Angelou was talking not about any of the surface stuff, but was talking to his soul. That he, in his soul, was so very important. And maybe he hadn't heard that. And he weeps. And Angelou then says, to the interviewer, "Now, I had no handkerchief, I had no Kleenex, I had nothing, so I just took my hands and I wiped that young man's tears from his face. And then we took a walk and talked." And then sometime later, Tupac's mother called Maya Angelou and thanked her and said, "You may have saved his life." That someone in whom there is no deceit, who sees the truth, speaks into it to this young man's soul and perhaps saves his life, tells him how important he is before God and humanity. There is someone in whom there is no guile, in whom there is no deceit. And that is what we need to be watching for, people. We can get fascinated by the deceit and the lies and the treachery and the manipulations. But that story, and that story especially is important to me because after I heard the interview, and it just struck me right in the heart. It took me a little while, but I finally realized, wait a minute. I saw Maya Angelou do exactly that very same thing to one of my members in my former congregation, Linda. At that time, we went to a national youth gathering in Fort Worth, Texas. And Maya Angelou was going to be one of the keynote speakers. There was three or four nights, and the major speaker each night. And Maya Angelou was going to speak one night. And Linda was our female chaperone for the kids. And I was there, and and Linda gave us the law of the land right then. Tonight, Maya Angelou is speaking. We will be at that auditorium at 5:30. The doors are going to open at 6:00. The whole presentation starts at 7:30. We are going to be in there so we can get a front row seat. And when Linda talked, we all listened. And so there we all were at 5:30. We waited a half hour. We got in there when the doors opened. And sure enough, right down to the front row, there was a few rows that were cordoned off for VIPs or for whoever. But we got in the first possible rows and waited for Maya Angelou to speak. Finally, she spoke. She came onto the stage. 36,000 Lutherans in the building. And she starts to speak about suffering and about God's redemption of suffering and about hope. Deep, deep hope. And as she's talking, Linda is just hanging by a thread, listening. But sadly, there was this din in the auditorium. Kids started to talk louder than they should. After a while, people were actually shouting out where they were from and other people shouting out where they were from. And before long, it just was this big mess. No one was listening. There were beach balls that were brought out, and then everybody was cheering for the beach balls. And Maya Angelou's pouring out her heart right there on the stage. And I'm there, and I have several options. I can crawl under my seat in embarrassment. I can stand up on my chair, on my seat, and start yelling, "Shut up and listen to this woman, this prophet. Quiet," which I knew wouldn't have done any good. And then what I ended up doing was sitting next to Linda and just leaning into her shoulder. Because for whatever I was feeling or thinking, it was 20 times worse for her. And I knew it. And she was listening. When Maya Angelou finished speaking, she started to walk off the stage, and Linda said to us, "Come on, we're going." And I thought, oh, she's going in anger and disgust and protest. We're going to leave. So we go down the row, get to the aisle. We're going to turn left to go out of the building. The exit's up that way. And so we get out of our row. We get to the aisle, but Linda doesn't turn left. She turns right, right towards the stage. And she walks up as far as she can go up towards the stage. Maya Angelou's walking down the ramp. She's going to turn right to her right to go backstage. And Linda just stands in the aisle, like a tree planted by the waters, as tall as she could, face full of tears, and waits. And somehow there is this connection between these two women. Maya is turning to her right to go, and she stops, and she looks, and she sees Linda standing there. She touches her escort on the shoulder, walks up to Linda, and hugs her. And Linda is saying, thank you so much, thank you so much for being here, for those beautiful words. And in the same breath, she's saying, I'm sorry we treated you so badly, I'm sorry we couldn't hear you. And Angelou says, oh, look at these beautiful children. They're just too young. It's all right. And then she looks at Linda and she says, but you know. And Linda says, yes. You know the suffering. You know the abuse. You know the violence against you. You know. And Linda starts crying again. And apparently Maya Angelou was in the habit of not having a handkerchief or a Kleenex, because she didn't use that with her hands. She reached to Linda's face and wiped the tears from her face. And Linda's going, yes, I know. And Maya Angelou says, that's enough. That's enough. They hug again, and off Maya Angelou goes backstage. So I think about that encounter. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's Jesus in Nathaniel. I mean, Jesus, Maya Angelou really sees Linda standing there and knows her story. And ghost comes to her. And Linda is maybe like Nathaniel. And in that moment, I'm thinking she is like Nathaniel in that she has no deceit. She's got no agenda. Notice what she said. She didn't say, which she could have. She could have said, I'm so sorry that these spoiled Lutheran white kids couldn't treat you better or treated you so badly. I'm sorry that they couldn't hear you. But she didn't say that. She said, I'm sorry we treated you that way. We, this particular gathering of the body of Christ, as much as it was misbehaving, is still the body of Christ gathered. And Linda took her stand with that body and didn't separate from it. And to me, that is an amazing, amazing example of someone who does not have an agenda to defend herself or to look better in the world's eyes or to lie about something. No, she was going to tell the truth. And she was going to stand with the very people who were so disrespectful. That is stunning to me. And then back to Maya, who says to this one child of God, as if to say, if 35,999 people in this auditorium did not hear me, you did. And that's enough. That's enough. So maybe it's the encounter of Jesus and Nathaniel. Or maybe it's the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus gives to Nathaniel, and I presume to the rest of his disciples. You will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Among the body of Christ, you will see angels. Like maybe these two angels who descend and have a rendezvous right there at the beginning of the aisle in this Fort Worth, Texas auditorium together. Angels who bear witness to the reality that there is truth to be spoken and truth to be received. And that if we see one another, and this is one of Maya Angelou's beautiful quotes, it is hard, impossible to hate someone if you look them in the eye and recognize that they are human beings. Or as we said last week, recognize that they are the human one, that the human one is in each individual. In each human being. If you can look in the eyes and recognize them, you can't hate them. And so she can look in the eyes of 35,999 Lutheran people who aren't listening to her, who have disrespected her and her speaking and her story, and look in them and recognize humanity. The human one. And I think with all of our division and all of our animosities and all of the sacrifice that has to be made in these days and all the decisions, whether we agree with them or not, that have to be made in these days, we are rife for division, we are rife for disrespect, we are rife for trying to guard our own cause. And so this text this morning invites us to look not at the deceit, not at the things that we are angry about, but rather to look into the eyes of one another and to see in each other, recognize in each other, the human one, the Spirit of Jesus. To begin to walk away from our fascination with all of the manipulations of our country and of the world right now. And to walk straight into the heart of Jesus. To recognize one another as human beings. It will be impossible for us to hate. It will be impossible for us to divide. It will be impossible for us to say them over against us if we recognize them as human beings, one another. This is what the disciples of Jesus are invited into. To see deeply into one another. To see one another. And to speak truth to one another. Truth that can be hard about suffering and redemption. But truth that will indeed bring redemption. For God is at work redeeming all of creation. You and me, Tupac Shakur, Maya Angelou, Linda, 36,000 Lutherans in a gathering. That's nothing compared to what God is up to in the whole world. Nothing less than the redemption of the whole world. And we are called to bear witness to that redemption. Sometimes it looks like two angels meeting together and knowing each other. Let us bear witness to this. Keep our eyes open for this, and our hearts will be wide open, and a new hope will be born.